system online. Initiate transfer protocol. Your turn next.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Your Turn Next. Here we are at the first official episode after our trial run went pretty well. We're all happy enough with it that we're going to give this another try, and we are glad that you're here along for the ride. I'm DC.
Hello, everybody. I'm Reese.
Hey, everyone. I'm Tony.
And today we're going to start off by talking a little bit about the article on ClockworkPhoenixGames.com about creative works. Most of you already realize that it's easier now to get a book or a game published than it used to be, and it's even starting to get easier to make your own consumer products using 3D printing and other rapid prototyping methods.
So, I don't know. I was reading through the article, and for some reason it actually made me think about not necessarily brand new products, but I'm really big into World of Darkness. And one of the things that made me so bummed was, like, back in 2004 or whatever, they killed the old World of Darkness franchise. And I guess what ended up happening was, so many people loved it so much that they actually ended up kickstarting the 20th anniversary of Vampire the Masquerade about a couple years back. And it was nice to see, because they had like such a huge amount of support that they were actually able to bring out additional supplemental books. So it's kind of nice that, you know, this was like something that they didn't probably necessarily know that was going to come back around and people were really going to want to see it. But I think it was, you know, kind of like a loyalty thing. And also, you know, it was a way for them to kind of get their foot back in, because White Wolf really lost a lot of stuff. It looked like whenever they got bought out.
Yeah, there's definitely been several places where people have picked up on a franchise that either has faded away or that got bought up by somebody else and the rights are no longer active, or they make a spiritual successor. Like, one of the ones I backed is Mighty No. 9.
What's that one about?
So Mighty No. 9 is by the guy who did all of the first Mega Man games. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys played Mega Man, or the early Mega Man games. They're not really as popular anymore, but that style is coming back. And the guy who made those original games is making a game called Mighty No. 9 that takes that same style of, you're this robot kind of dude in a graphical world with crazy things to go fight, and as you defeat the bad guys, you gain their powers. So by the time you finish the game, you've collected powers from all different bad guys. And it's just a fun, cool game that it's neat that Kickstarter gave an opportunity for the guy who started that whole trend to bring it back around again.
See, I think that's really awesome. Like, it's nice. I mean, because, you know, I had read your article and it was kind of cool to see, you know, like there's a lot that goes into the gaming world to kind of like build something like that. And then, back in the day, if you put all this effort into it and all of a sudden, hey, a small company doesn't want to fund you, or a publisher doesn't want to fund through, kind of just fall apart. And like, you know, maybe this guy from, you said it was Mighty Nine?
Mighty No. 9, yeah.
Mighty No. 9. Like, you know, who's to say like 20 years or even 10 years ago, you know, he would get funding for this again? You know, just be like, hey, I really want to bring this genre back. But like, I don't know, Kickstarter has done a crap ton, I think, to really pull a lot of things for that never would have happened before.
And it's also awesome seeing stuff like come back. Like what you were just talking about, something that you think, oh, well, it faded off and now there's like no way to get it except for maybe collectibles, like trying to like go back and find the old stuff. And it's like, now there are ways for people to be like, oh no, we're totally willing to put the money towards that project if you're willing to bring it back. So there's not as much of a risk putting product out there again that you're not sure if you're going to have the fan base to support it.
Well, the new Shadowrun video games, I think, were all kickstarted.
Really?
I think so. Maybe not. But who knows? Someone might go fact check us and tell us we're wrong. But until then, I say they were.
They definitely were. You know what was Kickstarter but did not succeed? Boogerman 2.
Are you serious? You're making this up.
You went and researched it?
I'm just saying, Boogerman 2 was on Kickstarter, and it did not succeed. So that was sad.
Oh, I thought you were just bullshitting us. I was about to say Action Max 2 was on there also, but
No, it was on there. I think, like, it was a pick and flick adventure. Boogerman 2 was on there, and they're like, yeah, no, not enough people really want to play this game.
Pick and flick adventure. I love that. That's an awesome way to market it.
It is a good tagline.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't talk about TV or movies in the article, there's one TV one that I'm certainly interested in, and that's Con Man. You guys familiar with that one?
No.
Con Man was on Indiegogo, not Kickstarter, but it's Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion's short-run comedy series. It's going to be about them being stars of a sci-fi show, going to gaming conventions and sci-fi conventions and the wacky things that happen.
So, off that subject, like, with those actors, what about Firefly? Do you think that because now there's more, like, fan-based stuff and there's obviously a huge fan base for Firefly, that they'd, like, make it into, like, an internet series or something like that, or try to get it back in a network?
Well, that one's tougher because I'm pretty sure that Fox still owns the rights because it was their show, and anytime you're dealing with a big studio like that, it makes it a lot more difficult. But this is kind of their spiritual successor to Firefly. I think at one of the stretch goals, they were going to raise enough money to build a spaceship set for one of the episodes to do kind of their own little, like, snapshot of Firefly.
That is awesome. That is cool. So,
I mean, on, excuse so me, I mean like not Nathan... Firefly. It's its own show with its own name. There is no intellectual property stuff going on here. It just happens to be a little bit similar in certain ways. And just like it.
But not it.
That's but not it.
So with the Con Man, is it supposed to be like, hey, this is Nathan Fillion, or this is a character that he's playing that's going to these conventions?
So, yeah. Alan Tudyk's the one who wrote it. He played Wash. So for those who follow it somewhat, but not as much as a diehard like me, Alan Tudyk played Wash on the show. Most famous for the Leaf on the Wind quote from Serenity, perhaps, which has become a bit of a rallying cry for Firefly fans. He plays a character who played the pilot in this other show. I should really know the name of the show. I feel like I'm missing out on giving the full picture here. But the captain on that show is played by Nathan Fillion, who played Malcolm Reynolds, the captain on Firefly. So they're playing people who are playing people who were similar to the people they played when they were playing the people on Firefly.
But it's not Firefly.
Right, not Firefly is the new show that they were on, yeah.
That is awesome.
Totally worth checking out.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be free. Like, if you pledged a bunch on Indiegogo, you get, like, I don't know, posters or shirts or whatever, but just... they got the money, so they're going to make it. And they've already got a bunch of people signed on to at least do guest spots. Like I know Zoe will probably be a character who's playing a character who was some sort of fighter character in the show.
It's going to be so weird seeing her after, like, she's been on White Collar for so long. Be like, oh, it's still strange seeing you, like, in a suit.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen White Collar? Oh, she's on White Collar now, and it's just weird because she wears, like, dresses. I'm like,
don't you mean suits?
Yeah, I can't read or write.
Fair
I'm
enough.
In suits.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no. Damn. She is, like, the boss of a law firm in suits. And it's interesting because it's a very different character, but at the same time, it's also kind of the same character. Like, she still has that quiet badassitude going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bad attitude.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. I was like, it's like same character in the sense of like, it's like that presence she gives where it's like, I think you'll kill somebody.
Right, exactly. Not the person you want to cross.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that was true even back in Buffy. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
She was in Buffy?
Yeah, she was.
What?
She was the big bad one season toward the end.
See, I never watched Buffy. I started... a couple years ago, my wife and I sat down to try to watch them, and we got through season two, and then for some reason we just stopped watching. So I don't know, I felt like I missed out on that nerddom.
Yeah, I think it holds up pretty well. There's
certainly those outfits from the 90s.
Yeah,
so awesome.
The clothes don't hold up as well, but I think the writing holds up pretty well. There's certain episodes that are just so clever and so entertaining. Mm-hmm. Well, it's Joss Whedon, so. We've seen him do plenty of other stuff that we thought was clever and entertaining.
It's very true. Oh, man. See, and I would say going back to the Indigo one, yeah, another thing that came up recently was, I don't know if you saw it, with the Super Troopers. They got funding within like 36 hours to do another Super Troopers movie just from that website.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. The movies are probably the most impressive one to me, because when you think about how much money it takes to do a movie in today's day and age and not have people be like, oh, well, that just looks crappy. To do a movie to high production standards is just so much money. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got books. Like, it used to be, if somebody wanted to write a book, they put in the time, they write the book, and then they print out a bunch of copies of it somewhere and send it off to all these different publishers and wait and wait and wait. And a lot of times it never even gets made. If you write a book, it couldn't be easier to put it online. Now, whether you're successful and make money putting it online is a different story, but getting it online couldn't be easier. If you really wanted to, you could just put the whole thing up on Facebook.
Yeah, well, you can self-publish, too, on sites where people can read your stuff and then donate if they liked your stuff. So it's, like, open forum, but then you get money donated towards you, and people will, like, upvote your stuff or, like, rate your stuff, leave reviews, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so you have potential to make money later on, but then more importantly, you're kind of getting your name out there, and, like, hopefully you will get more...
Yeah, exactly.
...hits and people looking at your stuff, so...
So I think what's interesting, though, is the other side of the coin is, like, those people that just want to put it up there and don't want any money from it. I think it's an interesting thing where, like, on YouTube, like, you know, YouTube, you put up videos and all that stuff. I wonder if it comes to a certain point where people, they ask you that they could, like, sponsor, like Patreon. Patreon's really a big thing on, like, sponsoring.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Patreon, Reese?
No.
Go ahead and explain it, Tony.
I'll explain as best as I know. So pretty much, if you do like live content or something like that, you can have pretty much patrons, they can like give you X amount of dollars or cents for, however many episodes you put up. So if you say, hey, for every episode you publish, I'll give you $1, and then you start getting revenue from that. I believe that's how it works.
Yeah. And it adds up. Like, I know, Menoth John from Painting with Menoth John, he's got a Patreon set up, and even if it's just people who give him $1 per episode, he's doing 4-ish episodes a month, then if he's got a few hundred people as patrons, like, that starts to add up pretty quick.
Yeah.
The artist who did the Clockwork Phoenix logo that you guys, mm-hmm. well, have seen if you read that article we were talking about, she is also on Patreon, Leandra Dawn. So you can check out her other work on there, and her support system is so that you pledge a certain amount per month. So it doesn't matter exactly how many pictures she puts up each month, which usually winds up being about 4, kind of like Painting with a Menoth John. It's just a certain amount per month that you'll kick in, and then that helps her to build that revenue base so she can pursue the projects she's most passionate about.
See, and I like that. I think what scares me is, like, for instance, you know, like, it's, so I'm part of a YouTube channel, Advanced Maneuvers, and we had talked about before maybe doing a Patreon, but I think our concern came from is, man, that's going to take a lot of effort, and what's going to happen during tax seasons, which for me kind of, that's just enough to, like, turn us off from the whole thing, because I don't know how that's, you know, how that'll work altogether, so.
Yeah, especially with you guys, when you're splitting it for, like, 10 people or something?
Yeah, right now we're up to 8 guys who does we do the battle reports, and that's a lot of effort, and I'm really lazy.
Well, and in the beginning, you're only going to have a few people for a buck or so an episode. You've got to build that fan base over time.
Exactly. Yeah, and, like, you know, we've got a decent amount of a fan base, but I just don't know if it would be I don't know.
Yeah. How many would jump in at the level of being patrons?
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, is that really worth it? It's going to be a lot of effort to, like, put that in. And then that means I would think, like, bonus content or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like the people who do the Patreon, because I feel like they have the potential to get a better quality product out there. But I feel like it's good for them, because that's just a lot of extra effort I feel like they'd have to put in, especially once it comes to, like, tax season, which taxes scare the crap out of me.
The other piece of it is the people who want to make that their business, it's going to be worth it. Like, if you have that stuff set up for the taxes and everything because you're a freelance artist, and then you're just also bringing in some, like, trickle revenue from Patreon, it all just works pretty smoothly together. You do have to do a little bit of extra content, like commenting on the pictures you create and things like that. But it's a pretty natural fit for what you're doing anyway.
You also have the benefits of being able to write off like anything that you need for your projects, like anything. It's pretty amazing the way like you get money back kind of in a way because of being able to write things off for your taxes. And then depending on what state you're in, are you in California? Where are you?
Maryland.
Okay.
Maryland.
I don't know about there, but in Washington, you don't need a small business license or like personal business license until you're making $10,000 a year. So if you're making under that, you don't even need a business license in Washington. I mean, I'd still encourage you to look up all of the laws in your area before doing anything. But I just know that from looking at my business.
Just do it all. Yeah. Don't worry about laws.
Exactly.
Don't worry about the government. What could they do? Lock you up?
Right.
What's the worst that can happen? You lose everything you own. It's fine.
You become someone's property in a prison somewhere.
Bubba, no.
That's really terrifying because I just pictured Tony as he said that. And that is not something I ever want in my head again.
Oh, man.
Did you say Boba or Bubba?
I said Bubba, but I like
it
Boba.
It really came out Boba. Like, I've got Boba Fett there with you in the prison cell.
Just the mask on.
That was weird image.
The scream is what made it.
Now I'm terrified to sleep tonight.
Well, now you're terrified to not have your finances in order.
But yeah,
that's
effective. The government at work.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go back to books again for a minute. Do either of you guys know BookBub?
No,
yeah.
I've never heard of BookBub.
It's a site you can sign up for, and they will send to your personal email once a day things that are like super crazy on sale on Nook or Kindle or whatever ones you sign up to hear about. And so I'm signed up for Nook, and specifically in the genres of fantasy, horror, suspense, and maybe like one or two other things. And so every day I find out things that are on sale, and by on sale I mean down to like 99¢ or even free. And
holy crap.
Yeah, you can read all kinds of stuff.
That's amazing.
I'm currently in the middle of a book that I got on there for free that's pretty interesting. It's about psionic powers and stuff. And if I like it, well, then the author's got me on the hook because there's four more books in the series. It's a 5-book series, so it's a good way to kind of, like you said, build that audience.
That's really nice. Cause, I mean, so you said it sends it daily. Is it just a wide? It's pretty much whatever you choose.
Yeah, whichever genres you choose, it tells you like what's super crazy on sale that day. Huh. And usually, it is something that's the first in a series or like one of the writer's works, so that you'll be interested in buying their other works. Like I read another one just recently. It was called Flypaper, and it's kind of the Fatal Attraction or Swim Fan or whatever type story where the girl gets too attached to the guy and makes his life a mess. But even though it's a story in general that we've heard before, I really liked how he told it. Like his style very much suited how I would want someone to tell me a story. Like I think Reese would really enjoy it.
I'll totally look it up. I love books. So anything you can find, that's really good.
Yeah, you have to join BookBub then if you do a lot of reading, because it's such a good way to find new authors, and especially some of these lesser known authors that are self-publishing.
Yeah, which doesn't mean that they're not going to be good, which is an awesome thing about Kickstarter and these kind of ways to get your stuff published.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a mixed bag. I've read some and I was like, that was not good. And then others, I was like, wow, that was a really fun story that I enjoyed.
But there are plenty of like published authors that are not very good that are popular and sell a lot of books.
Yeah,
so
that's true too.
Dude, what are you talking about? Twilight series is the greatest series ever.
I always thought that about you, Tony. Like, I knew as soon as I started talking to you, I was like, oh, that's a Twilight fan right there. I recognize.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought sparkles. We were going to jump right to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, I should have said that one.
Which is an amazing thing so in itself, that it's from it's a book based off a fan fiction of a terrible novel, and it's popular.
Yeah.
Like, how?
Wait, what?
The degrees of separation there are kind of wacky.
So weird.
Hold on. Wait, let's go back. What?
50 Shades of Grey started as a Twilight fanfic.
Dude, mine blown right now.
Yeah, for real. And then it got like popular and people were really into it. So they like published a book, obviously with different names and not vampires. And then we're like, oh yeah, look, this is an awesome book. Read it. Give us your money. It's not. It's terrible.
It's all about finding your audience.
That's true. Hey, say if you can make a book into a movie, I feel like you won.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how bad it is. You still won the day.
Yeah, it's just money. But at the same time, we're talking about this stuff, and the better you know something, the more people are going to be out there judging it. Like, we all just said, oh, this is terrible, right? And we didn't think about how the author might feel or anything like that. And that's something that you kind of... Do you want to put yourself in the spotlight? Do you want to say, here is my creative work. Here's something that I'm passionate about that came from my heart. Everyone take a look. And then have people hate it?
That's true. But at the same time, so many people like it too. And yeah, it's not my cup of tea,
yeah.
But I have friends that like that series and think it's really good. I just, like, I don't see why. But they really like it, and that's awesome that they have something that they can, like, a lot of people that, especially, like, aren't into books and that kind of thing, when they find a series that's like, oh, I really want to sit down and read this, that's pretty cool, even if it's not something I would personally choose to sit down and read. So there's good sides to it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really good point, because you got to take the good with the bad.
I'm really not a fan, though, but it's cool. But there is a little bit of courage, like what you were saying, with putting your stuff out there and then just hoping people like it. But, of course, there are going to be people who don't like it, so it's better just to focus on your fans in that aspect of it. And I guess just try to ignore the haters, because even the stuff that we really enjoy have people that don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
On it and leave nasty comments, or like what you were saying earlier about going on and reading the stuff about the blog for War Machine and people saying, oh, these rules aren't right and this and this and this. And it's kind of like, oh, it kind of like hurts to hear that kind of thing.
Yeah, the same is true for games as it is for books. I'm sure it's also true for actors and actresses. Like every now and then you hear a story about some actor or actress who, because of online feedback or whatever, they really start kind of slipping into depression or something. And it's something that can happen, because it's not easy to have your life out there on display for everyone to judge. And that's not even just true anymore of actors and actresses. Now, thinking about even just kids in junior high or something, all these crazy Facebook things and whatnot that you hear about, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that does make it a lot harder. I don't know. That's
Oh, look, now you've made us feel bad. Our podcast is so deep.
Yeah. I didn't have to worry about that.
Like, taking on world issues.
Like, if people saw cave drawings about me and talked to somebody else, like walked up to them, hit them in the head with a club and ooged at them to tell them I was a terrible person, it was fine, because like they'd probably get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger thing anyway, or a dinosaur.
They probably deserved it, right?
They did. They did deserve it.
Clearly. Clearly, if you talk bad about DC, you probably deserved it.
But now I want trained cyborg velociraptors.
Who doesn't, though? That's
yeah,
on my Christmas
that's fair.
List.
That's true. Are you going to ride a motorcycle around, too, when they're running around with you?
I don't know. Motorcycle, I'm not...
You can have a motorcycle with sidecars for the raptors.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
One on each side.
Little helmets, because you don't want them to hurt their heads.
That's true.
Their brains are tiny. They don't need helmets. Whatever, it's fine.
That's probably also true. Or get dinosaurs that already have helmets. Like an Ankylosaurus, I think.
That's oh, that'd perfect. Be amazing. Let's do it. Screw this podcast. Let's go do that.
But see, now someone could listen to this. I'm not saying anyone will, but someone could listen to this and be like, I'm going to write a book about crazy motorcycle Ankylosaurus cyborgs, and they could get it published.
Or somebody could listen to this and be like, these guys aren't cool with Twilight. You guys are terrible. This is the worst podcast ever. And just, like, put that up on our comments. So,
yeah.
Be gentle. We have feelings.
Please do. We like getting comments.
Comments are nice.
I like how you're like, any attention is good. I'll take the negative. It's fine.
Yeah. I'll take the negative. I'll take it. It doesn't matter.
Well, we're still early on.
I know.
We just need to find our voice and hopefully find people who are interested in the things that we're talking about. One of the things that I wanted to touch on, at least briefly from the article, is what kinds of stuff, now that all this creative freedom is out there, what kinds of stuff we want to hear or read or play.
You know, I don't know. For me, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I've always really been, like, into RPGs. I don't know. It's kind of a weird side rant. But I'd like to see more, like, modern-day, like, sci-fi stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I love the fact, like, taking, like, modern-day stuff and putting the, like, either fantasy or, like, horror twist on it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't feel like much of that has been published lately?
Like, I mean, I feel like there's stuff out there. But, like, in an RPG sense, like, I just haven't seen too much on it. I think for me, and I've gone back to this, like, 50 times already, but, like, I think that's why I liked World of Darkness so much, because it was all modern-day stuff. It was a modern-day, like, horror game, in essence. You know, you had guns, you had cell phones, but you also had, like, freaking werewolves running around, like, fucking shit up.
I feel like most of the really successful settings are a mashup.
Yeah.
You look at D&D, it's medieval plus magic. What you're just talking about, okay, it's vampires and werewolves fantasy plus guns and technology. Like
Rifts, too.
Yeah, Rifts. Yeah.
Rifts on a whole new level of crazy.
I love Rifts.
Even the whole steampunk thing. It's like, okay, well, let's take Victorian and then do steam era technology or sci-fi stuff. Let's take a Western and a sci-fi and make a really cool show that Fox will cancel in less than a season. Yeah, bringing it back around as I watch Reese hang her head.
See, but then that is not successful. But then something based off something else that didn't seem to me would be as popular is, like, huge. It's just weird the way things go. And just trying to find that fan base, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you put together vampires with sparkling. I wouldn't have thought that was a thing.
See, but I also wonder if that's based on the time frame that it came out. Like, if, like, a really close thing with Firefly is, I really feel like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of has a lot of the same elements, and the fact that it's a ragtag group of people, you know, really anti-heroes really becoming hero. You know, like, if Twilight probably came out, like, the 90s, I feel like it probably would have bombed a lot more. But I feel like it's, you know, whatever is more socially acceptable at the time, or I don't know.
Yeah, timing is huge. There's no doubt about it. Even when you look at certain TV shows where they either were really popular and now everyone thinks they're terrible, or where they didn't make it very far but now they're a cult classic, or the same with games, or even books in some cases, or like paintings and stuff, where if it doesn't hit at the right time, it won't get the same popularity as it would elsewise. Like, I wonder if just little bits and pieces of things that happened were a little bit different, maybe Harry Potter wouldn't have been the series that launched the first billion-dollar author in history. Maybe it would have been something with zombies or vampires, or who knows?
Yeah, or, I mean, even just location where they test it out at, or, like, age, or the time that a show is on the television as opposed to a different time slot.
Or the people who see it. Like, being able to get on Oprah was one of the things that supposedly helped J.K. Rowling so much. And without that, would the Harry Potter series have been as big or not?
Or at least over here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or if some other author just happened to get on Oprah's radar and that author was promoted as, hey, this is an awesome new fantasy series, everyone go read it. Who knows? There's so many books and stories out there that it's hard to say. It's a lot of it is knowing the right people or getting on the right people's radar, having the right idea at the right time. I certainly think that's true in gaming.
Yeah. I think you had mentioned it, probably not last week. It was on you're talking about another time where it was like, you know, as there's like the ebb and flow of like gaming and stuff like that. And like, we're starting to see some genres probably starting to fade out, but maybe more are starting to butt up into the future. You know, like what games are going to become more popular.
Yeah. There's definitely a rise and fall of genres. The ones to me in gaming specifically where I always do appreciate it is the creation of a genre. Like, it's one thing to have a game that's successful. It's another thing to have a whole new type of game that this is the first time it existed. Whether you like Dominion or not, you can't really deny that it spawned a whole wave of games.
And it did. I mean, yeah, it's still popular. In a way, I'm jealous of the people that can do that, because to have that type of foresight to really be like, hey, this is a weird, solid game, but I want us to try it. And then for Dominion, for like, how I'm still blown away how they were able to sell that to a publisher and really be able to get the publisher to be like, all right, I believe you. You know, that it'll go, and look what it spreads, like what you said, you know.
Well, Magic is a great example. The whole idea of a collectible card game didn't really exist beforehand. And a lot of the things that when we look back and say, oh, this was a mistake in early Magic the Gathering, who would know at the time? Like, their idea was that a rarity scheme would make people buy a few more cards. Little did they know that, what, 20 years later, a Black Lotus is how much money? Because that rarity scheme spawned a whole new mindset in gaming. That collectible aspect, the gotta-catch-em-all thing, years ahead of its time.
So this is a little different than what we've been talking about, but cell phone games and apps and things like that also have that, where somebody comes up with a really good idea, like, I can't think of any. Well, for instance, Clash of Clans. Like, it started off really small, and they were just giving it away for free, but now they're making, like, millions and millions of dollars just because it caught on, and it's something you can, like, quickly play a few minutes a day with your friends. So, like, you still have this kind of, like, bond while playing. It's almost like an online game, but it's not as intense as, like, WoW. You don't have to spend as much time in it, so you still get that little bit of, like, ooh, I really like this. It's fun playing with all my buddies, like, online, but you don't have all of the time that it takes for, like, an MMO. So, well, it's the first one that I really heard about, and it became really, really popular. It was free originally, and, I mean, it still is free to download, but then they have, like, these gems that you can buy, and they come in different packages, and each package is more expensive, but then you get more gems per how much real money you're spending. And I know people have spent thousands of dollars on that game.
Yeah.
I am not exaggerating. Oof. Like, I myself spent, I think it was like $50 altogether, which is like more than you should probably spend on a game, but like 25 of it was a gift card. And then 25 of it was like getting started. I want to be where my friends were at. So I like rushed things to try to like get to their level. And then after that, I just, it's more fun for me to just build stuff up. But some people are like so into it, they've spent thousands of dollars. And that's just easy to do in that kind of a game, but it's kind of like a genius way to make money off of a game that was originally a free app.
Yeah, like a lot of the game mechanics and even the style of how certain things are constructed in Clash of Clans feels very familiar, feels like something that's been done before, but they certainly are among the first that really nailed that microtransaction thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably somewhat safe to say that Farmville was maybe the first. Where
yeah,
that makes sense, but
yeah.
it's not the same kind of gameplay.
Well, no,
either.
Yeah, different gameplay. But
like, there's more like, to me, it's more of an invested game. Like, I've never spent any money on a different game that was download free, but then has extra money that you can build into it. And the only reason I do it with this one is because you have that other aspect of having people that you're playing with that you want to like keep up with. Whereas in the other ones, I've never spent a penny, even though there's that option, because there's just not the social aspect of it. So it doesn't really matter to me how long or slow it takes me to, you know, upgrade all my stuff. But with the social aspect of it, it's like more important in a way.
Right.
Clash of Clans frustrates me.
I love it. I love my clan.
Why does it frustrate you?
Because every time I log in, I've already been attacked all the time.
There's like so many different ways you can set up your base to get people to go for your town hall first so that your shield will activate for the longest amount possible. Like a lot of people think, oh, I know, I'm going to put it in the center of my base, but then it takes the longest for people to get to the middle, so it's less likely you'll have as long of a shield. So if you actually put it on the outside and put everything important to you, like your money and elixir reserves, in the middle, people are more likely to just get the star from going after your town hall, and they'll leave everything else alone, and you'll have like 12 hours with a shield up, so you can farm better.
And now you know.
Oh, yeah.
Pro tips. I tried out Clash of Clans because somebody was trying to get me to play with them. I don't even remember who it was, but I couldn't get into it. There wasn't enough.
Really?
Like,
I got into it way too much, and that's why. Yeah. I just had to recently delete it from my phone. It just I downloaded it because two of my employees that I was working with, they both like were really into it. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And it was just like 6 months of just like, I was just way too attached to my phone. I finally deleted it, and now I picked up a new game, Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which is pretty much like Final Fantasy 1, which it's just causing the exact same problems as it does with Clash of Clans. I'm on it all the time now, just trying to grind out these dungeons now.
Yeah, one of the guys at work was trying to talk me into trying out Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Don't do it, DC. Don't do
it's
it.
It's a trap.
It sucks your life away.
I'm pretty good at resisting those traps. Like the
that's good. I'm not.
Not always, don't get me wrong. Like, I am on Hearthstone pretty much every day. I do put money into Hearthstone. I view it kind of like, okay, if this was an MMO, how much money would I spend a month? Okay, well, I'll spend that much money and buy a bunch of new cards and play more games, make more decks, and I have fun with it. Or, even a harsher comparison, if I was still really into a physical CCG, how much money would I spend on that? Like, going to a draft or two drafts once every week or so? Like, the money adds up. So, for me, Hearthstone's kind of a cheaper alternative.
That's true, yeah. For Hearthstone, I could definitely see that. Oh, just once you said, like, this, you know, going to a draft every week, yeah, that's painful. That's painful in the pockets.
There was a point in time, like, when I was early on as an electrical engineer, like fairly fresh out of college, I would play in probably 4 drafts or so a week.
What?
Because they had them on Wednesday night. They'd usually run 2 on Wednesday night, and then they'd run 2 or 3 every Saturday. For that period of my life, that was kind of my thing. I just went and played drafts and usually did well enough to win free packs on top of it. And so it was like, oh, I'm getting lots of cards. This is awesome.
I played a little bit of Magic, but I never got into it after I played it at summer camps. That's what we do. We always did like a draft at summer camp I worked at. But luckily I never got into it. Actually, I never really got into gaming very much when it came to like other than role playing until like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago.
So real quick, let's get back to that question we were starting to hit on and then we should wrap up. But what kind of things do you want to see? Whether it's a book or a role-playing game, or a computer game, or even a movie, what do you think would be awesome to see somebody put out there on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, or even just self-publish? What do you think would just be super cool?
So I'd like to see a lot more, like on the children's aspect of it, games and movies and books even, that are more like female young adventure type books. That would be really awesome, because like I have a niece who's growing up and she loves Doctor Who. And like I've kind of gotten into this discussion with a couple people who like really don't want to see a female Doctor Who because they feel like, oh, but like he's been male all along, why change it? Like that kind of a thing. But like for me, like, even though I don't mind, it'd be kind of nice because she loves that show. Like, she loves that show, and it'd be really cool to have a female doctor and have somebody that she can, like, empathize with and, like, kind of see herself in that role a little bit. Because, like, right now, like, her favorite character off that show is Amy because, like, she's a girl that is more, like, in the spotlight of the show, and it'd be really cool for her to have that, but as the main character. And I don't feel like there is a lot of that. And it'd be just really cool to have more of a sci-fi female main lead.
I, like, kind of riffing off of that, I want it to be a super badass Red Riding Hood.
That would be cool.
That would make a cool show.
That totally would.
So now that we had the idea, I would really like to see someone run with this cyborg dinosaur motorcycle thing.
Sidecars included.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Clearly there's something there. That's got to happen.
It's got to be. Maybe J.K. Rowling can do it for our next book.
It sounds like that kind of style, so I feel like it would just
it really fits. Well.
Mm-hmm. DC, you use your popularity contacts to
make it happen.
To get in touch with JK. I know you got her on speed dial.
Yep, that's right.
I know.
All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and I hope you check out the article about creative stuff and how widely available it's becoming very soon here. And if you have your own ideas, post them up. Let us know what you think would make a great new game or book or whatever, or let us know how you're going about making something of your own. We'd really appreciate it. But for now, this is Your Turn Next, signing off.
To contact Your Turn Next by email, send your message to contact@clockworkphoenixgames.com. Your Turn Next is copyright 2015 by